All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I wanted to talk a little bit about the speaker, Kevin McCarthy, and what he faces now that he did the right thing. And it's kind of like a revolt from a certain segment of the GOP, the Republican Party, that is going to interfere with everything from this point forward. And, you know, who would, and we kind of said this in the beginning, Sandy, who would have wanted that position knowing that it was a no-win position? And yes, Kevin McCarthy for a little while was the darling of, you know, Democrats and Republicans alike, who admired the fact that he was able to make some changes and make some things happen. But now that that's over, the other side of it is really going to be a difficult thing for anybody to try to endure. Your thoughts on, you know, where we're going now, because these people are going to obstruct everything from this point forward.
Well, it's symptomatic, I think, of the sort of fractionalization of the parties, and particularly the Republican Party in this circumstance, but also the lack of focus on national welfare, broadly speaking,
right,
and it breaking down into very interests that are not reflective of the national interest, but reflective of very strident minority groups, and by minority I mean smaller than majority,
right,
and it's, you know, I'm going back just quickly to the indictment situation. You can go back in time to the time when Spiro Agnew, the vice president of the United States, has to step down because he's violated the law. And it's when the facts are presented and the fact of an indictment, or even an indictment is presented, he resigns.
Right.
And they find a way to select Gerald Ford to be the new vice president. And then when the Watergate thing comes up, the leaders of the country figure out a way to have a relatively graceful change of power. Nixon resigns. The president, who's then sitting in office, pardons him, so the government doesn't have to indict Nixon. He's done being president. He's essentially put into sort of an exile. It was a process that looked at the interest of the country first, and that's not what's going on right now. You know, it's not what's going on now with Trump. It's not what's going on now electing a Speaker of the House, putting him in a situation where he's subject to the whim of anybody in his caucus. You know, it's chaos. It's anarchy.
You know, Sandy, what you are saying is, and maybe these people don't think of it from this perspective, Sandy, but the rest of the world is watching, right? I mean,
sure.
And they're certainly taking notes because I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, they're watching it, and they're watching essentially the failure of our system. You know, we're running around the world, and America's always been viewed as sort of the leader in terms of the form of democracy we have and its effectiveness. And now they're watching us, you know, just thrash. We're thrashing around.
You know, Sandy, and it's at a time when we are certainly pointing our finger at China, pointing our finger at Russia, pointing our finger at many other players, and they're watching this, and they're saying, "Who are you? Right? Clean up your own house." And I think it does put us in an awkward position. It's safe to say that, right?
Well, it puts our country internally, regardless of the international view of us. It is very destructive of processes in our country. I mean, we've been basically in political paralysis for almost 20 years. And so, you know, are we getting much accomplished? You know, we jump up and down and applaud when anything passes Congress that has a meaningful effect, that is a meaningful revision of what otherwise it currently exists.
You know, Sandy, it is, and it's not getting better, right? I mean, it's getting worse. We celebrate being able to accomplish this debt ceiling as if, see, we can work it out. We can work it out. And yes, we have to be able to work it out, but we can't be satisfied with just that.
Well, what did we work out? We talked our country off the ledge from committing suicide. I mean, it was a self-inflicted wound, self-created crisis. It's not like we faced something that was presented to us by the world and we solved it. No, we created this problem ourselves, and the whole political theater that surrounded it.
Let's do this, Sandy. I don't know if you're aware of it, and others may not be as well, but ships are piling up in the West Coast ports. There's a labor fight, and it's threatening the supply chains across the nation. And it's a big issue. We don't need anything interfering with the supply chain, Sandy. We're just getting back to a point where I thought we had these things worked out.
I mean, the supply chain in the globalized situation, supply chains are sort of inherently fragile, particularly fragile as when it relates to the logistical connectors that allow for international supplies. And so, you know, it does create leverage on the part of that logistical system. And, you know, we've just faced one problem after the other. And are we going to onshore our entire parts and supply chain process? No. So we need to solve this.
You know, it adds to all the other things. And Sandy, it's one issue after another, right? I mean, internally, and we're not talking about the things externally. We need to take care of the things internally in our country before we can deal with the rest of the world's problems. Shouldn't we? I'm not saying take a moratorium on other issues globally. We can't step out of what happens globally in the world, Sandy, but we must take some time to focus on our own nation. Is it safe to say that?
Well, we need to prioritize the issues that America faces, and we need to prioritize it from the standpoint of the interest of Tom, Dick, and Mary. And we've been failing to do that for decades, all right? Because here we are in a system without health care, you know, that's adequately available, with a declining status with respect to life expectancy. We don't have child aid. We have all these problems that we don't address at all. And it's very hard to address them, even if we weren't misfocused on spending so much money based on international issues. It's hard to address them because there are always these brush fires to deal with every day too, like the supply chain, you know, like logistics. It's hard enough to focus on big problems without focusing on the wrong big problems.
All right, so Sandy, let's get to local issues and what has happened here up in Madison, and the fact that the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County has averted for now a calamity that we know would have been a death knell for our city and for Milwaukee County. The Republican legislature has agreed, Sandy, to not hold hostage the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County with forcing a referendum on an increase in a 1 cent, 2 cent sales tax. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, the problem for localities is this lack of access to good revenue sources. And the property tax just has proven across the country, and certainly locally, not to be an adequate revenue source for urban areas in particular. And so, yeah, it's a badly needed new revenue source. Unfortunately, the state government has decided to push in the direction of exercising local control over Milwaukee as a condition of being able to enact this tax, creating not just broad standards, but very specific ones, which ends up being a really bad precedent. You know, having the state government dabble in local affairs, the state constitution, and as well as the principles of state government, have always been premised on the notion that local rule was important, home rule. And furthermore, there are restrictions in the Constitution with respect to the ability of the state legislature to impose conditions on localities without having them be uniform. And so, for instance, there's a concept of cities of the first class. And the city of the first class was defined as a city larger than, I can't tell you exact number, 450,000 people. There was only one of those, Milwaukee. So it did allow the legislature to speak rather specifically about Milwaukee in a general way. They'd say cities of the first class. And cities of, now, that's beginning to change because Madison is on the verge of becoming another city of the first class. And so it's going to become more difficult. But the basic premise of state constitutional law is that legislatures don't fine-tune and micromanage localities. That's up to the locality.
So hang on, Sandy. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. We'll be right back.
AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 a.m., WAUK.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine this afternoon with a high of 80. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 54 tonight, mainly clear skies. Overcast tomorrow, highs around 84. Chance for scattered showers Sunday and Monday, 62, Sunday, 66, Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
This summer, 540 a.m.
You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, to get into the weeds about what this deal encompassed, and there are a lot of different hidden things, demands that the legislature put on the city of Milwaukee. Here's one. I'd love to hear your thoughts. To somehow take away the fire and police commissions oversight of the police and fire. Can you explain to me why they would do that, Sandy, and how that has anything to do and why the legislature should be involved in any of that?
I don't know. Do you think the unions for the representing the fire and firemen and policemen would have an interest in that issue?
You know, that's exactly it, Sandy.
But
the fact that they would do that, you know, there's no way you
can. Proof of two things: the power of special interests and the willingness of government today to essentially be disingenuous. I mean, conservative principles would suggest that state governments stay out of the business of localities, but apparently that's only true when that's what they want to do.
You know, to somehow tell the Citizen Oversight Board of this city that certainly has a right to what happens with police and fire in those situations, and for the state to take that away from the citizens of this city. If it's not criminal, Sandy, it should be. And to say that you who live in Milwaukee, if police does something, if the police officers do something that is not right, you don't have any right as citizens to be able to challenge what the police have done? Well, their union somehow, and it gives them superpowers, Sandy.
Well, typically state legislatures intervene in public affairs, like in school districts or others, when they have hearings and basically there's a demonstration that incompetence has developed, okay, that there's a failure, essentially a bankruptcy on the part of the local government in being able to do what it's now going to replace the local judgment with at the state level. And there's been no such showing here. This is sort of out of the blue.
Well, not only is it out of the blue, Sandy, but as you stated, we know that the police unions control the state legislature from the perspective of those in the Republican side of the aisle, because they're the ones who asked for this. It had to be, sure. Sandy. There's no other reason, rhyme nor reason, why this would even come up in a discussion with all the other issues that they are to deal with on the state level, that somehow you put this in and it's a part of the negotiations on whether or not the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County will be able to, Sandy, somehow, be able to fend for itself. And the other part of this, Sandy, is at the same time, over 46% of police and fire have left the city of Milwaukee. Because of, again, the state legislature that stepped in and interfered and made it possible for these things to happen, Sandy. We see it. Those of us who live here, we see the hypocrisy in all of this, but it's done and there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, you know, there's a term for people who dabble in things, pretend to be specialists and dabble, they're called dilettantes. And, you know, the state legislature dabbling in local affairs, in local school district affairs in Milwaukee, in local police affairs, is just the action of dilettantes. People who from afar, who don't know all the facts, don't have a sense for the public view of things, are now exercising control. They better be prepared to take on the blame for any and all bad things that happen.
You know, Sandy, to me, if they would be doing this in other cities across the state, I would not be complaining. But we know they're not. They're singularly focused on the city of Milwaukee. And for any legislature to do that, I think is certainly, Sandy, puts a scarlet letter on those who have, you know, been a part of this?
Well, it's bad government. It's bad. It's a bad principle, and it's.
Better than cream cheese and bagels, better than honey on bread, better than champagne and pretzels, better than breakfast in bed, better than chili rellenos, better than chocolate eclairs, better than hothouse tomatoes, better than fresh Bartlett pears, better than dining a la carte, or simply gastronomic art, better than any.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, they blew up a dam in Ukraine. Sandy, this is leading to a major escalation. Is it safe to say that?
Well, it's.
I mean, they
held off. An escalation of a sort.
They could have done this long ago, Sandy. Why now? We don't know who did it, but why now?
Well, pretty clearly, I think it's strategic, and it basically floods a whole area that would be vital to a counteroffensive. So it's sort of it's clearly a military tactic, but it's an immense. Impact on a region. It's proof of what happens in a land war when people use all of the leverage they can. You know, there's all kinds of logistical leverage that needs to be accomplished: highways, electric systems, water systems, dams. All these things are vulnerable to attack, and the impact of it can affect the military capacity of one side or the other. So this is clearly something that affects the military capacity of Ukraine to have a counteroffensive, to move its forces in the direction, particularly of Crimea.
And Sandy, it's war. Is it safe to say that? I mean, it's war.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the earlier the bridge between Russia and Crimea was blown up.
Right.
That would have a huge impact of sorts as well. So. You know, these things, this is what happens in war. You know, the war is, I would say that to date, we've had a war for a year in which basically the punches have been pulled, right? It hasn't been all out, pull out all the stops, do all we can. We're just moving more in the direction of that kind of thing.
You know, when are they going to get to a point where it's time to start having some conversation? You know, aren't we getting to a point, Sandy, or must there be much more bloodshed before?
We've been at that point for since the eve of the war, really, and prior to the war. I think the war could have been averted with more terms of
diplomacy,
negotiation, and diplomacy, but. You know, the question is really the position on each side. And, you know, if Ukraine has the position that they want Ukraine, that they want to recover all of what was Ukraine in 1991 when it was created, it's going to be a problem in terms of getting to negotiation. I think that's pretty clear.
Does it become more difficult for the United States and NATO? In watching this, I mean, watching that dam being blown up and the far-reaching impacts of that on people and those kinds of things and the escalation, at some point, then NATO has to realize, hey, this is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we can't continue down this road. We've got to do something. Something has to happen.
Well, NATO's kind of between a rock and a hard spot as well. I mean, Ukraine is the combatant in a proxy war the combatants are dependent on their proxy supporters, right? So in this case, Russia is not a proxy war on their side. It is a proxy war on the Ukraine side. Ukraine is entirely dependent on the support they get or can get from NATO, and more specifically,
led by the United States.
From the United States.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, if they pull they do hold lots of cards, and clearly there is a back channel in which NATO can go to use Zelensky and try to come closer to dictating the terms of settlement. But still, it's quite clear that NATO can't pull the rug out from under Ukraine. And so then what's the midline there? You know, what's the middle position that gets the negotiation without handing the total keys to the ignition in terms of that negotiation to Ukraine?
Let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning, Dave. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Al. So I just read yesterday that Ukraine is going into full offensive mode. Forgot the name of the region that they're attacking right now with the Russians. But there's no question this is going to get escalated considerably right now, because Ukraine has gotten the additional tanks from Germany. They've gotten additional arms from Great Britain. And obviously we're going to keep supplying them with our latest.
But Dave, the one thing they can't get is additional manpower.
No, but Ukraine has shown, even with they're wiping out quite a bit of the Russian military, with the fact obviously having the weaponry that they have, and they seem to be much better fighters. The morale, I think, is much better. I think they're more hardy. And I do look at it from the standpoint that what we have going on right now is there's obviously an escalation. It's going to get worse. There's going to be tens of thousands of more people are going to get killed. But that dam did two things. One, it flooded out that whole city, and they had to evacuate everybody out of there. But also, there was a nuclear reactor that, you know, supplied a lot of power to a good chunk of that region. So now they can't use the water to cool, you know, the nuclear reactors down. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's like anything else. It starts kind of small and what have you, but now that you are starting to see it, and we're not really hearing about it in the mainstream too much, but there's no question if you get outside the American journalism aspect of it and you try to get some independent news sources that really seem to be on top of this, there's no question that this is a major battle that's really brewing. And like I said, it's unfortunate, but there's going to be, you know, probably easily another 100,000 people would be dead before the summer is over with.
Well, so Sandy, you've said this many times, the fact that we, NATO and America, continue to supply the weapons to Ukraine. They extend this, and they're never going to be able to give them enough weapons to defeat Russia. It's safe to say that, isn't it, Sandy?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say. You know, to be honest with you, there are no independent war correspondents that we're hearing from, and so all the news we read, I think Dave suggested this, but all the news we read is basically press releases from the Ukraine side. And if you want to look at what the other side might think, you look at press releases from the Russian side or their propaganda pieces or our propaganda pieces. And so there's no proof to speak of in those two sources, unless the two sources are saying the same thing. Then you might say, okay, that's probably credible. On the Zaporizhia nuclear plant. That nuclear plant isn't operating now. It's in cold stop. So in cold stop, it needs to have some cooling water, but not as much. So the risks associated with that plant are lower, but that's neither here nor there. Dave is right that the number of human lives being lost is immense. And it's not clear exactly which side is losing more. You know, if you listen to the Ukrainian press releases, they're killing far more than they're losing. But if you look, the other side says the same thing. And so you know, we're hard pressed to have fact sources, but there is no question that hundreds of thousands of people are dying and have died in the war so far. I mean, well over 100, probably 200,000 if you count both sides, have died so far. That's a deadly war.
You know, the other side of this, guys, is I don't think that the American people really are locked into this. You know, it's certainly not something that the American people are thinking about daily or weekly. They only think about it when, you know, something like the dam being blown up. And so, Sandy and Dave, without the American people and this being on their radar, there's no pressure, Sandy, I think, from the United States, from the citizens of the United States, to question whether or not we continue down this path.
Well, unfortunately, the people of the United States and even Congress don't have quite as much to do with it as they should. And our foreign policy is a bit of a mystery to Americans as well in terms of what our end plan is, what our end game is. So, you know, it's hard to say. It's really, you know, I think that's the horror of this, is watching sort of helplessly from the outside, understanding that it's a dynamic over which there's not a lot of influence.
And from the perspective of the United States, it's the finances, you know, really. People say, well, those people are being murdered over there, and that's always secondary. It becomes the amount of money that the United States is putting in. And not only that, and nobody's finding out, Sandy, I remember you saying this over a year ago, where the money is going. There's no tracking.
$105 billion, $38 billion of that is military hardware. The rest of it's dollars of some sort. And so that's a lot of money floating around in a country that we refused to give money to just 4 or 5 years ago because of the endemic kind of corruption they have. So, you know, it's difficult. We've sort of, it's a proxy war, but the tail's wagging the dog in many ways in terms of our capacity now to exercise any kind of control over this. Well, I'm going to have to jump ship. I'm at the race course right now.
All right, Sandy, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Be safe. We'll see you when you get back. Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Bill. You say what, sir?
Here's what I say today. If you guys heard or anybody heard Ron Johnson speak about protecting the treasonous president.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling all my friends today, and I'm passing the number out, but you can Google it. Call Ron Johnson's office, demand his resignation today. He took an oath of office and he broke it. He also participated in illegal activities of selling or pushing fake electoral votes. He has to resign. And I think you've got the power on your station to talk about that and ask people to call his office for a resignation.
Well, Bill, you know, you didn't expect Ron Johnson to act in any other manner, did you?
Well, no more than Bugsy Siegel when he got convicted. He went say, I'm guilty. Yeah, no, they said the same thing Al Capone said. You got
Bugsy
nothing.
Siegel.
You got nothing. You know, so, you know, you got to look at him as a thug. Thugs never say, oh, I'm guilty.
So, Bill, let me ask you this, because there are clearly people who say, we got to be careful with this. If, you know, there's another side, there are people who are going to be outraged if Donald Trump is convicted. And so we got to really be careful about how those people feel. Why is that the case? The man is a criminal. And
here's the point, though, Earl, on what you said. Of course they want us to be careful.
Hey, Bill, do me a favor. Bill, hang on. Bill, hang on a second. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Hang on a second. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Are you sure that love is even better than shopping?
Well, there's a little sale I'm late for up at Barney's, but it's still better.
Oh, come on. What about that 30% sale at Jimmy Choo's and Saks Fifth Avenue Friends and Family Day? Huh?
Still better.
Well, maybe close second.
Very close second.
Show. I can't believe it's the last few minutes. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, you know, I never before in my time do I ever remember a time like this where people are saying, you see that what this man did, and there are those who say that their fear is that he sold some of this information. Knowing who he is, it would not surprise me if that turns out to be factual, Bill, that he sold, and that's why they're talking about espionage. And then there are Americans who will support him in the face of that, Bill. And then they say to you and I that we need to be careful and selective about, you know, irritating these people who are following this man who did these things. He did these things, Bill. Nobody just picked him out and said and tried to attach this to him. People are responding to the things he did.
Well, Earl, real simple. The people that are following him are not Americans. Because Americans take a pledge of allegiance. Politicians take a oath of office. He defiled his oath of office. He defiled the Constitution. So these people that said go easy, we don't go easy on bin Laden. We didn't go easy on Timothy McVeigh, and we're definitely not going to go easy on him. They all fall in the same category. I could care less about somebody said who says go easy. Because remember, you got that the people who said go easy chased Hunter Biden, they chased Hillary Clinton, they chased Bill Clinton, and they came up with just a big flat zero. We came up with just countless indictments. There is no fudging of the law. It's black and white. They want to be a little bit pregnant. There is no such thing as a little bit pregnant.
You know, Bill, go ahead. Finish your point.
Well, the thing is, let's stop compromising with thugs. We don't negotiate with terrorists, period. We don't. It's, you know what happens when we deal with terrorists? He's a terrorist. Have no mercy on that man. Now, if he comes clean and offers a complete testimony and says, I'll take my
which
sentence,
you and I know is not going to happen.
About going, right.
Which so you...
then, but then we could talk about, oh, let's have some, a little mercy here. But he will not do that. We will not do that. We're not going to.
So I'm wondering, Bill, if once they find out he sold this information, he kept it. They asked him for it. And a year and a half later, he would not give it to them. That's why they went to Mar-a-Lago. And you heard all of these people complaining, oh, they should have never gone into Mar-a-Lago. He had these documents for a year and a half, and they told him, we want them back. And he refused to give it back to them. And yet people who support him think that's okay.
Well, here's the point. The Republican Party has lost much of its foundation, except for Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger, Mitt Romney, a few. A few are still holding steadfast to the American rules of law. The rest have left the reservation. Now, we need to purge America of this garbage. It's not that we're picking on them. Everybody knew Trump was a career criminal long before he ran for office. That's why James Comey went after him. That's why the Pentagon said he's a clear and present danger as a president. That's why the CIA was even after him. They recognized this long before he even got to office. 26 sexual assaults, yeah. 11 bankruptcies, and that's the best the Republicans can do? I'm sorry, but get out of the race. You don't even have a car that runs.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Don quickly from Milwaukee. Don, you got the last word. You say what?
Okay, I'm going to try to make it quick here, Earl. You had brought up, you said that Trump may have sold this information.
Do you remember
Ethel and Julian Rosenberg? Why shouldn't Trump get the same thing? Why shouldn't he be executed if he sold that information? That was my comment.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. We don't know any of those things to be factual, but somebody has to explain. Donald Trump was saying, hey, I have a right to those things. He clearly stated he has a right to those things. They belong to him. He argued that point. It's the reason why a year and a half later, he still had them. Because in his feeble mind, he believed that those things belonged to him. And listen, for the life of me, for those who support him, and who think that the society should tread easy on him for fear that there'll be some reprisals from people who are MAGA people. I say, don't let that should not be something that this government should be fearful of. You know, why should you be fearful of the citizenry of this nation? You have never been before, and you should not be now. Well, but they're the MAGA people. I don't give a rip who they are. You don't feel that way about any others? Why should there be special thought and special treatment for people because they're MAGA, because they support Donald Trump? Anybody else who does things that are a threat to this government, the government moves on them. It should be the same way for people who call themselves MAGA people. They're no more special than anybody else. And as long as we keep giving them special treatment, we're going to continue to be where we are. Well, we can't touch Donald Trump. We can't say this. Do you know how they're going to react? Who gives a rip how they're going to react? The law is the law. And whether MAGA people want to see the law bypassed, for that guy, who gives a rip? The law needs to stand. Gotta go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you. As always, Calvin, I'll be back on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. You've been tuning into the Early Show. See you later.